Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Friday, May 8th, 2026. Hope everybody is doing fantastic as we wrap up the week and we wrap up the week. I can't even speak. Good morning, everybody. How are you? We wrap up the week with some very exciting news. And of course, yesterday it broke late afternoon after the series finale. We'll touch on that as well. Yankees take another series 2-3 against the Rangers. But yeah, it broke late yesterday afternoon. Spencer Jones is being called up to the major leagues. Now, of course, we discussed this yesterday, and, you know, I'm not trying to think I put this or willed this into existence because it comes with unfortunate circumstances, of course. Yesterday, Jason Dominguez makes this play right here, which was a great play, and, of course, what ended up happening is he slams into the wall. Concussion protocol, went through that. He's all good there, but he does have a low-grade shoulder sprain in his shoulder, and he's expected to miss a few weeks. Real quick on this is very unfortunate. I feel very bad for Jason. Now, we'll see him again. I saw a tweet yesterday that was saying, Jason Dominguez is never going to play another game for the Yankees. This was his chance. Stop. Like, that's obviously ridiculous, and we'll see Jason again. He's expected to miss a few weeks, but it's a shame, man. I mean, he's had some very, whether it be in the case of that yesterday, some weird fluke injuries. And this was very much his shot. Like, he was going to get some extended run with Stanton out. Now that will go to Spencer Jones. So just want to say, feel very bad for Jason. We are going to see him again at some point in a few weeks. But for now, the DH spot is not Giancarlo Stanton's. It is not Jason Dominguez's. It is indeed Spencer Jones. And yeah, we just talked about this yesterday. And the timing of it is very coincidental because we were going into, you know, the fact that it wouldn't be a Grisham continuing to struggle situation or anything outside of injury that would call for Spencer Jones to be brought up. And that, of course, is exactly what happened, and here he is. So for those who don't know, quick little rundown on Jones. 25th overall pick in the 2022 draft. He currently ranks as the Yankees' number 6 prospect. Now, he's been higher than 6 in previous seasons. He actually has been, we talked about the top 100 prospect rankings with Lombard yesterday. Jones had been on that list many times throughout his minor league career. He's not on it anymore, and he's actually descended in prospect rankings as of late, and that all is to do with the strikeout rate. We'll touch more on that in just a little bit because the strikeout rate actually has been improving over the last few weeks, but with Jones, it's as simple as this. A lot of strikeouts, a lot of power. Last year in the minor leagues, 35 home runs in 116 games played. So far this year, he's off to an insane start. 11 homers and 41 RBIs, 958 OPS. So listen, despite it coming with the circumstances of Jason getting hurt, which is very unfortunate, this is exciting. And it goes along with, you know, another added sprinkle to the fire of the Yankees are putting the best team on the field, or at least in this case, bringing up a player they believe can make the most impact. In past years, you know, it would have been something along the lines of whether it be Randall Grichuk, who was DFA'd last week, trying to bring him back because, you know, Jason gets hurt, or even just settling to bring up Oswaldo Cabrera. Like, that is very much throughout the Yankees you would figure would have gone in years past, and they don't do that here, and it's very exciting. It's very exciting. Now, we don't know what Jones is going to be, and I'm like, actually, I'm excited. I'm also a little bit nervous for many different reasons. One, I like Jones a lot. He's best friends with my boy Ryan Cohen, and Cohen's always painting the picture to me whenever I would bring up Jones getting traded. He's like, oh, you want to trade Jones, huh? What if he's going off and then that night I hit him up like, yo, you want to go out? And he says, yeah, bring Yanks app. He wouldn't say that. Cohen would say that. But it's like, all right, that's all well and good. I'm happy for you, Cohen. And legitimately, they're best friends. It's pretty insane. Shout out Ryan Cohen. He knows everybody. But I like Spencer. I'm excited for him. We've talked about if it does work out in New York, he would be box office, man. I mean, he just got the look. Obviously, for those who don't know, he's 6'7". 6'7", 235 pounds. And, you know, the dude's huge. We'll get more to a breakdown of what to expect with Jones. Because this is very exciting, but it's also a little bit nerve-wracking, in part because I wonder if the slight sliver of motivation here could be get Jones some run for a couple weeks and maybe he plays well. Do the Yankees still consider trading him in July if the, you know, the value comes back up? We know a lot of teams don't look at Jones as, you know, all that highly regarded because of the strikeout rate, but nonetheless, if it does work out here, he would be box office, and I don't want to, you know, get into the numbers game, and by numbers game, I mean, what will he wear? In spring training, we saw him wearing a lot of number 78. I think it would be so cool, not to put a bad, you know, mojo on him or nothing, if he wore 77. playing center field. And that's what's interesting about this too with Jones. He, in all likelihood, will get some run at times playing center field. Now, more often than not, it will be at DH. And I'm very curious what the lineup's going to look like tonight, guys. I don't know what the plan is going to be regarding, you know, so we're facing Jacob Mizorowski tonight. And, you know, McMahon's been hitting. He's going to be playing. Mizorowski's a righty, by the way. Some great pitching matchups. We'll touch more on the actual Milwaukee series coming up, but this should be a good one. Anyways, you know, assuming Jones is at DH, and of course he's a lefty, I don't know how the Yankees will put out a lineup tonight unless you were to start Rosario over McMahon at third base, which they won't do. They shouldn't do because McMahon's been hitting and it's the righty pitching. I don't know how the Yankees have a lineup tonight where there's not at least three lefties hitting in a row. Maybe we'll touch a little bit more on that later. But speaking of Spencer Jones in spring training, let's do a little callback to, you know, get the juices flowing to his first at-bat of the spring where he hit this mammoth shot. And all throughout spring, he was hitting tanks like these. It could be boom or bust. What we do know is we're going to get strikeouts. We're also going to get a lot of this, which is power.
I like it. Big time power. Long drive to right field. There it goes. See ya. Over everything. A long home run for Jones.
Alrighty. So yeah, regarding Jones and what to expect with him, it's kind of like, it's kind of murky waters to really get into what his profile is projection-wise because of the strikeouts and because of, you know, everything that we've seen. The stats at AAA have been insane this year. 41 RBIs leads all the minor leagues. And, you know, with the high K rate, you know, we've talked about it a lot, 32% on the season down there, but it has come down in recent weeks. And Boone talked about that. We'll hear from him in just a moment. But it has dropped down to around like 25 to 25% in recent weeks. He really got off to a rough start in AAA where not so much about not hitting, but his outs were coming basically all via the strikeouts. So if you want to consider the K rate somewhat inflated because of that, I think that is relatively fair. But we know, you know, he made the adjustments in spring training. It was highly documented with the, you know, the Shohei Ohtani toe tap. He has since dropped the leg kick, and that was mainly motivated to reduce the K rate, which, you know, at times it seems like that is working. But it's not so much about is it working at AAA. It's more so about what does it translate to the big league level? What is he going to look like? Is it going to be a thing where you get a complete replication of the production down in AAA? Which, if so, I mean, that's no problem because, you know, a high strikeout rate can be worth your while so long as you're getting production to make up for it. Will we get a 958 OPS from Spencer Jones? You'd figure probably not. If we were to, just for argument's sake, then, all right, you can strike out over 30% of the time. That's just fine. But, you know, some comparisons to throw out there, you know, we'll talk about the Judge comparison. From the second he was drafted, it was, oh, he's the left-handed hitting Aaron Judge. And I'm not going to make fun of that tagline. I've said it many times myself. There's also the Joey Gallo comparison, which, real quick on the Joey Gallo comparison, I do want to mention something about that. If Jones ends up being Yankees Joey Gallo, that's obviously not good. We should also remember anytime when talking about Joey Gallo, I'm not just saying this because he is technically my cousin, for real. The chat, the OGs can verify that. That I've said even before he was a Yankee. Not that I guess I should brag about that, but yeah, I will. Joey Gallo's my cousin. Pre-Yankee Joey Gallo was really good. He was really good. Now, he had hit for a low average, but if Jones is a guy that strikes out a lot while hitting the low 200s, obviously that's not ideal, and that's not going to be, you know, visually pleasing for many people, and I understand. Rangers Joey Gallo was still like a 900 OPS guy, a lot of power, and also a really good defender. And that's something with Jones that is different with, you know, outside of Judge. Many big dudes, they can be clunky, which Jones has a little more, you know, awkward lookingness to his build than, you know, Judge does. He's a really good defender. He's very athletic. He plays center field. And this is what we talked about yesterday. Long-term wise, where does he fit with the Yankees? And I was saying this season would have to be because of injury. And of course, here he is. But next year, assuming Grisham were to depart in free agency, you could kind of just look at Jones as the heir to the throne in center field. And, you know, a reason to kind of get excited about that is because he is very athletic. He is a good defender in center field. So we might see him at times now play center field. But as of tonight, you figure he's going to DH. And as for, you know, the ceiling offensively, it's very high. The floor, you think, is probably pretty low as well. And, you know, just some stats. Like, for example, this is via The Athletic, but his in-zone contact percentage at AAA, in-zone contact percentage, 71.1%. That would be the second worst among all big leaguers this season, which, you know, that is a cause for concern. We know that. The strikeouts, that's what the issue is going to be if there is one. It is the strikeouts. With that said, who would be first? It would be Munetaka Murakami. And Murakami right now, we know, is raking, has 14 homers and a 153 WRC+. So Murakami's a well above league average hitter. And in the case of him, at least as of right now, we'll see how it plays out long term. But, you know, he strikes out a lot. But you can deal with that because of the production. Going back to the Joey Gallo comparison, with the Yankees, Joey Gallo was striking out at a crazy clip. And with us, he was like a 600 OPS bat. So in that case, the strikeouts aren't worth your while, but they can be, even with Judge. Not so much these days, because Judge is more around like a 25% K rate these days, which is pretty awesome. But, you know, back then, like early, like pre-COVID Judge, which was still a very good player, but a different player, he struck out around 30% of the time, but was more than worth your while with the strikeouts because, you know, he was such a great hitter. So with that in mind, there's definitely many different avenues that could lead to success or be considered successful with Jones. And you figure it's going to come with the strikeouts. It's a matter of what does he do to make up for those strikeouts. So it's going to be interesting. It very much does feel boom or bust with him. And yeah, again, like with the strikeouts, some more stats, just really put into perspective here. It's annoying, I know, to keep harping on it, but that's the story with him. Just 14 hitters of the 217 that qualify at AAA have struck out at a higher clip than Jones has, which is 32.4%. Again, it has come down in recent weeks. And here's Boone. Prior to the call-up yesterday, but you kind of had a feeling, you know, he had an inkling that it was coming. Here's Boone yesterday on the Yankees possibly calling up Jones.
Been having a lot of consistent at-bats. The power's been there. Less swing and miss, which is some of the things we were seeing a little bit in spring training after that, you know, maybe second week in AAA where he struggled a little bit with the swing and miss. He's cleaned that up, and, you know, I think I saw leading all the minor league baseballs and baseball and RBIs, plural.
I think that's a thing with Boone. It's like one of his pet peeves. RBIs is plural, which, hey, fair enough. But yeah, some quotes from scouts, and this is via the New York Post. One from an AL scout, one from an NL scout. One line was, "I like him, but I think he needs a little more time in AAA." The other quote was, "The 32% K rate is concerning," and that obviously is true. It is concerning, and that's why we talk about him with excitement, but also a little bit of hesitation. We don't know what Spencer Jones is going to be. Now, nonetheless, this is a good move by the Yankees, and I'm glad they're doing it. And I can't wait for tonight. This whole series should be really fun. You got Rodon activated on Sunday. Jones making his debut tonight. The pitching matchup in Game 1, we'll touch more on in a little bit, is fantastic. It's Fried versus Mizorowski. And by the way, that's a tough debut to, you know, or a tough guy to make your debut against in Mizorowski. He's been terrific this year. But, yeah, I feel like it's very much boom or bust with Jones. And maybe he's going to boom. Maybe he's going to bust. Or maybe there is a middle ground. It doesn't feel like there will be, though. It feels like no matter what, we're going to see some majestic home runs. No matter what, we're going to see some strikeouts. It's, you know, what's the big picture going to look like here? Is it going to be, you know, an above league average bat with a K rate that translates to 30% in the big leagues? All right, we can take that. Is it going to be a well above league average bat with that 30% K rate? That we definitely can take. Or is it going to be, you know, Yankees Joey Gallo? You know, there's some other comparisons too, like Adam Dunn. You know, there's many ways that Jones could be successful here. It may not be, again, visually pleasing at times with Jones. But let's jump into this really quick, because I saw this going around MLB Network yesterday, so I wanted to whip it up into my own graphic. But, you know, since the day he was drafted, compared to Judge, and that's just because the height. I don't know if that's the best comparison to make these days. If anything, maybe more of like a Cody Bellinger type may actually be the hopeful comparison here, although a big difference obviously is the K rate. Bellinger doesn't strike out that much. And in the case of Judge, minor league statistics-wise, comparing Jones to him, they are very similar. If you compare the OPS, 848 career minor league OPS for Jones, 842 career minor league OPS for Judge, you see the slugging. Jones better than Judge was in the minors. Judge had a higher average in the minors, 371 to 351. Whatever. I don't want to dive too much into this. Really, the reason I bring it up is just to put an emphasis on the K rate. Because this graphic was going around MLB Network yesterday, and they didn't include the K rate, and I understand what they're doing, but there is a difference here. In the minor leagues, Judge, K rate of 24.8%. Jones, in his career, 32.7%. So, I mean, it's not a great comparison to make. It really isn't, but obviously, you understand why they do, because of, you know, he's huge. And if it works out here, he could really, really play. I hope it gets off to a good start. I really hope it gets off to a good start. And I don't know if that's going to be... They're doing construction outside my crib. I hope you guys don't hear that. Apologies if you do. But Yeah, it's exciting. It's the right move by the Yankees. But I don't know what to expect from him, really. I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at here. No matter what, I'm excited. No matter what, we're going to see big homers. No matter what, we're going to see a lot of strikeouts. It's what's the whole entire package going to look like? Is he going to, and we'll know by watching day in and day out. The stats will tell you one thing. And the eye test, more often than not, over the big picture, does back up what the stats say. But, you know, we'll be able to tell easily if he's helping the Yankees win games. And it might be also giving a day to Trent Grisham, having him sit and playing Jones in center field again. Defensively, he's pretty damn good, and he moves quickly. Let's hear one more soundbite from Cody Bellinger, in part because I think he's just funny as hell to listen to, and I like hearing him talk. But here's Bellinger on what his perception is of Jones.
It's a large man that hits the ball very far. freak athlete, too. I was very... I didn't know, like, the speed. Very athletic, moves well, and... just good baseball player.
I love Belly. Anyways, last thing on Jones. No matter what, I'm excited. The lineup tonight, I'm so curious what they're going to do. Now, we also don't know if Ben Rice will be back in there, which tonight kind of does mark the first game where I'll be like, all right, if Rice isn't in the lineup, maybe a dude just consider IL-ing him. There was someone who commented yesterday, like, why do the Yankees always do this? They're trying to avoid putting him on the IL just to save, what, 4 or 5 days of Rice? And I'm like, yeah, that makes perfect sense to do so. If he's in the lineup tonight, their plan so far makes total sense. And it hasn't really felt, to me at least, like they're playing a man short. And Goldschmidt's been really good. I would like to see Ben Rice in the lineup tonight, obviously. I would like to think he's in the lineup tonight. And with that, again, I wonder what the order of this lineup is going to be, because no matter what, if everybody is playing, like McMahon's in there, Wells is in there, or if not, Ascara, but he's lefty too. Jazz with Grisham leading off. Here's the 1-9 lineup I have with Jones. Let me know if you think it should be different, but I have, if Rice is in there and everybody you figure that's playing is playing, Grisham, Rice, Judge, Bellinger, Jazz, Jones, McMahon, Caballero, Wells. I have Jones batting 6th and DHing, but you know, with that, you're going to have, in this order, 4 lefties in a row, Bellinger, Jazz, Jones, McMahon. Now, Bellinger, you don't worry about him with the balance because he hits both lefties and righties, but it's going to be a very lefty-heavy lineup, which isn't an issue so much because, you know, you could always end up pinch-hitting. They just have versatility on their bench. But, very curious what the 1-9 is going to be tonight. And ideally that involves Ben Rice in there, but we'll see. But my prediction is Jones hits 6th and DHs tonight, and we'll see what number he wears. I know nobody else cares about that, really, but I've always been into the numbers thing. Like, you know, we don't have many available, and I think it'd be cool to see him, at least long-term, wearing 77 in center field with Judge in right, obviously, wearing 99. No matter what, this is exciting, and I cannot wait for tonight. I can't wait for this series. Very good pitching matchups. We'll touch more on that in just a little bit, but tonight, Max Fried versus Jacob Mizorowski, and then tomorrow we'll have Cam Schlitler versus Kyle Harrison. Kyle Harrison off to a really good start as well. So, exciting things happening right now, and it's cool that the second Jason goes down, you know, it furthers the conversation of the Yankees' depth and the fact of you lose Stanton, all right, you got Jason. You lose Jason, which is unfortunate, you got Spencer. Now it's a question of what will Spencer Jones be? And part of this is, yeah, he's the best option. He's the right option. This is the way to go. But also it's like, yo, let's see what he's got. This is kind of your chance right here, at least to make an impact. And whether that be secure a spot in the long-term future come next year in center field, or maybe he looks so good to where it entices some teams trade-wise. We'll see. But you would think, given, you know, the ceiling, given he just has the look. If it were to work out here, you figure the Yankees want, you know, him to get that shot, and ideally it works out. They'll keep him, and he'll be the center fielder for years to come. We'll see, but no matter what, this is a very exciting time for many reasons to be a Yankee fan, and Spencer Jones being called up is one of them. It almost feels similar to, like, 2017. I don't really like to compare years like that, but, you know, where it's just you have all these prospects that you've heard about for a long while, and finally they're just kind of coming up one after the other, whether it be, the pitching prospects, but more so, you know, Lumbar, we know he's on his way. Jason, we've seen many times by now, but, you know, you finally give him some run, and because he gets hurt, now you're seeing Spencer Jones. And later on, we may see LeGrand. Hey, we may see, there's many things going on right now that are very exciting, and Jones is a big part of that. Let's touch on yesterday's win, though, really quick, because we would be remiss not to mention how good of a win that was yesterday. So, very much the C team. You had Rice out, you had Caballero out, you had, obviously, Jason started the game, but was out basically on the first play. So very much the Yankees C team, but not even so much because of the offense, but because of, you know, you had Ryan Weathers scratched, and because of that, you had to start Paul Blackburn, but he was just an opener. He goes one inning. You later have Brendan Beck come in, who, you know, didn't look great and probably was lucky to only have given up two earned runs. But in the end, you know, Boone navigates with Blackburn, Brendan Beck, and like the entire Yankee bullpen really got the job done, and credit to Boone because he navigated it quite well. But Blackburn to Beck, two earned runs over four innings, that's your start. They navigated that very well. Overall in the bullpen, Tim Hill scoreless, Brent Hedrick scoreless yet again, Jake Bird and Camille Duvall scoreless. That was navigated perfectly, but what was again exciting was the fact that it was even a ball game given the situation that we had yesterday. I don't know if I did post my story or not, but it was before the Yankees came out and scored, and it was like, you know, the sixth inning where they blew it up. I was thinking, like, man, if they can pull this one off, this would be a very impressive victory for the Yankees. And I feel like I keep saying that, but it's because of many different, you know, types of ways they're winning games, whether it be only scoring the one run off DeGrom, but working his pitch count enough to get to the bullpen and tack on insurance. In the meantime, Cam out-dueled DeGrom. Or the other day, just taking it to DeGrom and scoring six earned runs off of him. Or yesterday with Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore is a very good pitcher. And, you know, I don't think he looked like great yesterday, but in the end, like, the Yankees had only scored one run against him going into the sixth inning, but they were working great at bats. They were building up his pitch count. Before you know it, you get to the sixth inning, Yankees are down by one run. It's 2-1 at that point. And Trent Grisham steps up to the plate and does this.
That one is driven into left center field. It is in there for base hit and goes all the way to the wall. Bellinger scores. Rosario scores. Here comes McMahon. Everybody scores. A big double for Grisham, and the Yankees lead 4-2.
If we're going to get where we want to go as an offense, we're going to have to win games in a bunch of different ways, and that just today just shows that.
How are you able to get to that pitch and produce in that spot?
Just staying within myself and staying to my approach.
Now, part of the reason I play sound bites a lot is, one, I've come up under Chris Rose, so, you know, in a way, I kind of feel like I'm a... Who's the quarterback for... I'm not a huge football guy, you guys know that, but who's the quarterback in... was it Steve Young? And then Steve Young sat under... Was it Montana for a bit? Like, that's kind of how I feel with Rose. Like, I've just been watching and being mentored by Rose for years, so now I just apply everything that he does, which he likes his sound, he likes his post-game interviews. I do, too, now because of that, but also... It's good to hear from the players, even though, you know, in the case of that, that's kind of a nothing answer from Grisham. But I just like the way he talks. And even before with Bellinger, Bellinger didn't tell us too much about Jones. But, you know, I like to hear from our guys, yo. And Grisham yesterday, he certainly was, in my opinion, the main spotlight of that game with that go-ahead double, bases clearing, three RBIs. On the day, 3-for-5 as, let me see some notifications here. Let me just make sure there's no news. No. All right. So, yeah, Grisham, 3-for-5 on the day yesterday. Some other guys really ended up breaking out as well. Cody Bellinger, well, by breaking out, I don't want to say that. I more so mean in-game, early, we weren't hitting, and then later on we did. Bellinger ends up going 3-for-5 with two RBIs. He now, by the way, Cody Bellinger, hitting .299, 924 OPS with 27 RBIs. He has been brilliant. We've talked about him a lot, and a big difference this year is how he's been not just decent against righties, but mashing lefties. He's been still mashing lefties, but also mashing righties, which, again, has his OPS at 924. Bellinger has been... I mean, it's past the thing of just mentioning who's doing well, who's not. Bellinger's doing well, but it's like Bellinger's doing really well. Really well. 27 RBIs. By the way, speaking of RBIs, Grisham, after that 3-run double yesterday, now has 23 on the season. He is just hitting .182, 680 OPS, but we've talked at length now about the underlying metrics and how, you know, it's not an excuse to, you know, hit .176 come season's end, but for now there's reason to believe that will even out. And yesterday maybe is an example of that. 3-for-5, three RBIs. His first hit, it's funny, you know, how baseball works. We've talked a lot about the bad luck. Well, yesterday he got some good luck. His first pitch, or his first hit, was a little bloop infield single that should have been caught but wasn't. And, you know, he gets a knock and it's like, all right, we're Grisham finally getting some good luck. But, of course, you know, the bases clearing double had another hit later on. 3-for-5 on the day for him. 3-for-5 on the day for Bellinger. Ryan McMahon did not start yesterday, but comes in because, you know, Jason hurt in left. Rosario goes out to left to take over for Jason. He was initially playing third. McMahon then comes in to play third. And McMahon reaches base four times. Two walks, 2-for-3 in the day, an RBI, which McMahon's been just stacking up some RBIs as of late as well. And that continues the conversation what we've had many times over the last week, which is McMahon is hitting. It's not just, you know, one good game or a good couple games. It's now over the last 3 weeks, McMahon is hitting. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the stats in that span during when he's been getting hot. We'll continue to do that. But also now he finds himself not in a good spot. He's not exactly going to, you know, challenge Judge for MVP. But his OBP is at 311 now, Chad. His OPS is at 662. And, you know, that kind of gives him a baseline to keep going off of, assuming he does keep hitting, which maybe we shouldn't assume, but it's not just results. The at-bats, we've talked a lot about, whether on the show or on the watch parties, the at-bats are looking a lot better, look actually good, not just compared to where he was in the beginning of the season. He's working at-bats. He's fouling pitches off. He's fighting. He's going to the opposite field. And we know about the defense, which has looked a little shaky this year, but you're not worried about it. McMahon now is at a 90 WRC plus. Before we know it, could we see Ryan McMahon being a league average hitter? Which, over the last few weeks, he's been well above league average hitter, but exciting. He looks really good at the plate. Shout out Ryan McMahon. Also, another quick shout out to Max Schumann. I liked seeing him yesterday. Looked really good defensively and added a RBI double of his own. So, a really good win yesterday. A game that, I don't want to say the Yankees weren't supposed to win, but in past years, you figure they kind of wouldn't have. And again, it was a C-list team. You had no Ben Rice, no Caballero, and he's all good. He later came in the game on defense. But yeah, no Rice, no Caballero, no Jason, essentially. You lost your starter due to an illness in Ryan Weathers. He'll start Monday now, but, you know, Boone navigated the bullpen well. You got through it with only allowing that one run, which is incredible. And, you know, that's one thing. That is to be celebrated, but it's just with this offense, you just felt like they were eventually going to strike, and they did. And that came in large part because they just kept working at bats off Gore, got his pitch count up, and before you know it, they went off in the sixth inning. And, you know, that was obviously awesome. So another win for the Yankees yesterday, another series victory for the Yankees yesterday. And with that, they're 26-12 and now tied with the Braves and the Cubs for the best record in all of baseball. The Rays, though, we know, they keep on winning. They are just a half game behind us. The Yankees lead the American League East, but the Rays are right there behind them. And, you know, their pitching we talked about yesterday is very much legit and has been exceptional and maybe borderline sustainable. So I think you guys want me to take the Rays a little more seriously than I have been, which I'm down. I said it yesterday. I'll play along. If they want to do this, like, word up. I'm down to have some competition. So if it's the Rays, we have to consider that as that competition. I'm kind of on, you know, bring it on vibes. Let's do it. But yeah, in the meantime, they are on our tail, yo. Half game back in the American League East. You know, I'm going to see who they're playing this weekend in just a moment. But we're obviously playing the Milwaukee Brewers. Road trip begins for the Yankees. We have three in Milwaukee, followed by three in Baltimore. Then we have a day off on Thursday, next week, Thursday. And then road trip technically continues, but we come back home to play the Mets next weekend. So Milwaukee, Baltimore, Mets. After that, quote unquote, road trip, we have the Toronto Blue Jays after that, which will be very exciting no matter what position that they're in. You guys know I think they're, no matter what, they're gonna be involved in this race, whether it be the AL East or just, you know, the postseason in general. But yeah, game one against the Brewers tonight will be a great pitching matchup. Max Fried versus Jacob Mizrowski. And some notes on the Brewers, just some general stuff like team stats and all that. Well, the Brewers, first of all, are 19-16, fourth place in the National League Central. The Central has been terrific up and down. The Cubs, as we just mentioned, lead. They're tied with us, best record in baseball. The Pirates have been a huge surprise. The Reds, at least up until this past week, have been really, really good. The Brewers, 19-16, and you know they're like the National League Rays. You never count them out, and if you do, you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. The Brewers are always going to be a good team. And in the case of this year, they, while 29th in home runs in baseball, they only have 24 homers as a team. They are 7th in baseball in runs scored. So, you know, offensively, they're not incompetent by any means just because, you know, they have a low homer rate. But they also have the 3rd best K rate of any team in baseball. On the year, they're right around middle of the pack in WRC+, so as like an overall unit, everything factored in. They're at a 98 WRC+, which is 15th in baseball. So their offense doesn't hit for much power. They're a capable offense, but, you know, nothing to, quote unquote, fear, not being disrespectful, but, you know, you don't fear the Brewers' offense, but you don't, you know, take them lightly either by any means. And rotation ERA, they're 6th in. Bullpen ERA, they're 9th in. So they got a solid team. And again, these pitching matchups this weekend should be pretty damn good. Tonight, game one, 7:40 Eastern on, yes, Fried versus Mizrowski. Fried, we know, has been great. He's 4-1, 2.39 ERA. Mizrowski, 2-2 with a 2.84. And he obviously throws gas, like 102 miles an hour gas. So what a debut for Spencer Jones to have to make tonight. But hey, we'll see. Maybe he'll go deep. I almost feel like he will. By the way, we're going to do a t-shirt giveaway in this stream right here. I should have announced it or teased it earlier, but comment down below whatever your thoughts are. You don't have to like be like, comment, done. Give me a shirt, Dan. Any thought you have about Spencer Jones or anything to do with, you know, this show, anything we're talking about, or just Yankee thoughts in general. That's really what I want, is Yankee thoughts. Just comment as if you're commenting about a story in general, and we'll put it into a random YouTube comment generator. I think the Clo Dog just made a new Spencer Jones shirt, so we'll use that as a giveaway. I'll put it into a YouTube comment generator selector thing, and we'll give away the new Spencer Jones shirt, whatever it looks like from the John Boy store. I know it looks sick because the Clo Dog made it, but comment down below, not in the live chat, by the way. Those have to be, once this stream is done, comment in the YouTube section down below, and we'll select a giveaway winner probably on Monday's show. We'll just start doing that every episode, honestly. But anyways, game two, Cam Sutler versus Kyle Harrison. Kyle Harrison, of course, we used to hear a lot about as an up-and-coming left-handed pitching prospect. He was moved, he was with the Giants, and then he was traded to the Red Sox in the Devers deal. And then this past winter was traded to, is my internet okay? I hope we're all good. And then was traded to Milwaukee this past winter in the Caleb Durbin deal. So Kyle Harrison will go for the Brewers on Saturday. So that's a 7:10 Eastern first pitch on Yes. And he's been really good. 3-1 record with a 2-1-2 ERA. He'll go up against Cam Schlittler. And then, of course, game three will be the debut of Carlos Rodon. He'll go up against Logan Henderson, who's 0-1 with a 4.50 ERA. Game three is Sunday, of course. That is a 2:10 start time on Yes. And I obviously don't know much about Logan Henderson, but was looking at his minor league stats. He seemingly is, has some high potential. 346 strikeouts for Henderson, the Brewers' game three starter. Henderson, 346 strikeouts in 269 career minor league innings. So, you know, this kid seems to be relatively highly touted. Obviously, you know, I don't know the full ins and outs of him, but bottom line is this should be a pretty exciting series, particularly on the pitching end of things. But, you know, Yankees versus Brewers in Milwaukee, you got Rodon being activated on Sunday. By default, it should be a fun series. Obviously, Jones making his debut tonight. So, yeah, this should be a fun one. It should be a fun weekend. We'll be live for tonight's game for the watch party. We'll be live right around probably 7:30. First pitch is at 7:40. And it should be a good one. I think everybody kind of considers the Brewers to be a good team, a respectable team. And some of the narratives around this Yankee hot start from people that, you know, probably shouldn't be taken all that seriously is the competition that the Yankees have played. And they're like, there was a comment yesterday, oh, the Yankees aren't that good. They just haven't played any good teams. So it's like, or they said the competition just sucks. And it's like, well, you kind of are agreeing with me then that the Yankees are good, because what are we talking about? The Yankees relative to their competition, or the Yankees relative to the competition 3 years ago? Like, what matters? What matters is the teams that we're facing. What matters is the teams that we're competing against, at least in the American League. And those are the teams that we got to beat. So, like, I always say this, but it's like, it's not like we're competing against the 1998 Yankees. We're competing against this American League right here. Tonight, of course, being an interleague series, so we'll see how they do against the Brewers. But I'm excited for many reasons, everything that we just talked about. But, of course, the main story today is that Spencer Jones has been called up. And, again, it sucked for Jason, man. I really hope he can get back soon. And I hope we mention this, but concussion protocol, all good, no issue there. But it's a low-grade shoulder strain for him. And, you know, he's still so young, so this is not the end of the story for Jason whatsoever. And the only reason I mention that is because some people are like, oh, Jason's injury-prone, which, you know, he kind of is. Some of it's very much fluke stuff. But I saw, again, somebody saying Jones ain't gonna be, or Dominguez is done, man. Like, he had his chance and now he just wasted it. It's like, bro, he ran into a wall and made a great catch. Now, you could say what you will about, you know, another outfielder probably doesn't have to go to that extent to make that grab, but in the end, he made the catch, and it was a pretty scary scene initially. It was like, yo, what's good? You know, obviously knew he got banged up. Did he just get the wind knocked out of him? Was it his head? We now know it's a low-grade shoulder sprain, but Jason will be back. It's gonna be a few weeks. And, you know, speedy recovery to him. I love Jason so much. We've talked about this many times now, but the way he handled, you know, being demoted last year, or losing playing time last year and being demoted to begin this year, like, Jason's awesome. I love his bat. He'll be back soon. Really feel bad for Dominguez, but with the case of that, that calls for Spencer Jones to be called up, and very exciting. This has been a very exciting season, and this does go along with the Yankees not just having depth and the options to do so. That's a big part of this. It's not just urgency, but the urgency is very much a factor as well. Again, past years, you probably would have, like, tried to bring back Randall Grichuk, like they did with, remember they DFA'd Chris Carter in 2017? It's like, we're finally done. You know, we shouldn't feel the way about Grichuk. Grichuk started to hit with us. But then, you know, they DFA'd Chris Carter. It's like, it's over. And then a week later, he's back. Like, that past years, it feels like they would have done that with Randall Grichuk, tried to bring him back in here, or just call up Oswaldo Cabrera. They didn't do that, though. They call up Spencer Jones, and Yeah, I'm geared up for this one, man, obviously, in part because of the natural excitement that comes with calling up a top prospect. And, you know, he very well could be box office if he succeeds here. But just from, like, not knowing what he's going to be, I guess from, like, it scratching my baseball brain itch with, like, prospects, he's so boom or bust, it feels like, that it's just a fascinating storyline whichever way it swings. Now, obviously, we want it to swing one way, that he's a success. But this has been a prospect talked about a lot in baseball. You know, opposing fan bases will, like, say he's ass. Yankee fans, me in the past, like, I've been, like, left-handed hitting Aaron Judge. I don't really say that as much these days, but nonetheless, he's got raw power, power to all fields. He's very athletic, good in center field defensively, moves pretty quick, and we'll be seeing some home runs that are just absolute tank jobs. Question is, as we said all episode now, is, like, how much is he going to be striking out? Or more so, that's not the question. It's how much is he going to be producing along with the strikeouts? Will the offensive production make up for what will likely be a very high K rate? I mean, I would be shocked. I don't even know if this is up for debate, really. Like, he will strike out at a clip at least in the big leagues of 30% of the time. But if he's putting up a 120 WRC plus, you know, an OPS of 800, whatever it may be, you can deal with that K rate. That's how that goes. Strikeouts, you know, there's a middle ground to it all, but that goes as not just like for a player, you want to have production that makes up for the Ks, but 1 through 9 in your lineup, it's not in past years where if you were to call up Jones on the 2021 Yankees, I'd actually be a lot more concerned because everybody was striking out 25% or higher, essentially. These days, not really the case at all. We have balance. We have bat-to-ball guys. Everybody works good at bats. And in the case of Jones, like, his OBP is very high. Apparently, he works really good at bats too. So, you know, we'll see how much he walks. You know the power will be there. You know the strikeouts will be there. There's other things with Jones's game that are exciting as well. But I go into this hesitant, but also not terribly nervous because the rest of the Yankees order is very much capable of being bat to ball and working good at bats. So hopefully not too much pressure on Jones. Again, I think he'll probably hit sixth in DH tonight, but also we don't know if Rice is going to be back. We don't know, you know, could the Yankees throw Goldschmidt in there, maybe sit somebody? And, you know, I don't think Grisham would sit, but there's going to be times where Jones can play center field and, you know, you could get Goldschmidt's bat in there. He's looked good as of late. And again, it's going to be a very, with the regulars in there, assuming McMahon, Grisham, Jazz, as well as Jones added on top of that to this lineup, we will see a very left-handed hitting heavy lineup, which is not that big a deal because you could always, you know, make substitutions later on. And Boone's been terrific at that so far this year. But yeah, nonetheless, an exciting time, an exciting season continues for the Yankees. That's going to do it for this episode, Chad. Again, we'll be live again tonight for the watch party starting up around 7:30. First pitch is at 7:40. And yeah, this is our first week of going 5 days a week. So reminder, this show is, yes, 5 days a week, every day, live at, I say 8 a.m. Sometimes it's like 8:15. I apologize for that. I'll try to, you know, really get proper on the time there. I know you guys, if you plan around a show being at 8 o'clock, you want it to be at 8 o'clock. There's been, like today, we went live at 8:15. But nonetheless, right around there, bottom line is 5 days a week. And our first one is in the books. So regarding this show, we'll be back again on Monday morning to recap the entire weekend. As for just being live, I will see you guys tonight for the watch party. So, yeah, that'll do it for this episode. In the meantime, everybody have a fantastic Friday. And, yeah, click like on the stream if you don't mind. We're also available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. And that is all I got. So, Jones up, Jason to the IL, road trip begins in Milwaukee. Rodon activated on Sunday. Tonight, Fried versus Mizorowski. That'll do it. In the meantime, have a great day, and I'll see you guys later. Let's go, Yanks.